We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to week two of the Prime Points show here on Roto Grinders. I am Britt Devine, coming in hot from the sports betting. Basically, all my takes, except Aaron Rodgers didn't go over his 234 yards. I don't know if he's going to have 234 yards for the rest of his career, but I guess we'll find out next year on that one. Back with Graham Barfield, back with Jake Tribby. Graham, what's going on? Glad to be doing the show. Been digging through the fantasy points data tool. So many things to look at. Just a great site you guys have put together over there. But ready to dice it up for week two.
Yeah. I feel like we had a pretty good track for week one. I feel like all of us together were kind of on the right track with a lot of our takes. So that felt good. And it was an extremely low scoring week. I mean, that was a pretty brutal week of football. A lot of unders hit. A lot of dogs hit, so hopefully we get some more high scoring games this week. I'm excited for this week. The slate is a lot different. We were talking a little bit pre-show. It's a lot different this week than last week, so really excited for that too.
Yeah, Hayden Hurst, tight end one, is oh, I believe that happened last week. Probably won't happen again for the rest of the season. Jake, welcome to the show. What's going on, my man?
Not much, man. Had a pretty good week one of DFS. I think outside of going 0-2 on my betting picks here, things ended up going pretty well. I loved what I saw to Anthony Richardson. I'm sure we'll talk about him a little bit more, but excited to be here.
Yeah. So Jake, maybe there are some new people. They never even heard of Fantasy Points. You're a little bit of a niche site. You've grown in popularity over the past year or two. Tell the people what they can find at Fantasy Points. What's going on over there? I know Scott put this together with a couple other big people. Just a real fun site. The data tool is amazing. Just let people know what's happening over there.
Yeah. So fantasypoints.com is the one-stop shop for everything related to football analysis. I'm talking DFS, season long, player props, college football, dynasty, betting, draft analysis, injury insights, cover every angle and distill it down to exactly what you need to know. Obviously, that's great, but what really separates fantasypoints.com to me, and keep in mind, I was a fan of the site before I worked here, is the quality of our writing and analysis. I'm a pretty good writer. I was mentored personally by Scott Barrett, who's an incredible writer. I won 2022 Football Writer of the Year, and yet I am the fifth, sixth, seventh best writer on the site. I mean, our writing quality is truly insane. If you read any article on the site, you'll see exactly what I mean, and tons of them are free too, so there's really no reason not to. And I haven't even mentioned the data suite. I mean, we have by far the most comprehensive suite of data tools specifically geared for fantasy football players. And I think that's very important to highlight. And access to that data costs just $50 this year. I mean, it's a massive steal. And we will highlight these great data tools on the show as we go along here. So yeah, fantasypoints.com, really awesome site. If you're into analyzing football, you really just need a subscription. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I would say not just fantasy football, but daily fantasy football, because you need access to all this stuff. I absolutely love it. We used to have the Gridiron IQ here at Roto Grinders, which was great, but the Fantasy Points data tool absolutely blows that out of the water to me. All right, so let's talk about some takeaways from week one. And maybe if we can translate them into week two, we can move on through that throughout the show. But Graham, what did you think of NFL in week one?
Yeah.
What stood out to you? What positions? What teams? What can we use moving forward this week and maybe over the next couple of weeks for DFS?
Yeah, I just think league-wide, you know, watching the games and rewatching the games the last couple of days and pouring through the data, offensive line play was awful in week one, legitimately awful. Pressure rate was extremely high. I think the median pressure rate was hovering somewhere around 40%. Usually it's around 30 to 32%. Yards before contact for most running backs was atrocious. There was multiple running backs like Joe Mixon, Cam Akers, Rashad White, all below 1 yard before contact blocked. Just really, really bad week for run games. Really, really bad for pass protection. I think we saw a few really good run games with the Chargers. It almost matters that Rashawn Slater and Corey Linsley are back healthy for the Chargers offensive line. They absolutely shredded the Dolphins on the ground. But by and large, I think my biggest takeaway is just how behind a lot of these offensive lines are. I think it'll pick back up quickly, but just for now, I think we're seeing some defensive front dominance and some weak spots along many offensive lines along the league.
Yeah, I know. I think a bunch of unders hit in week one.
Yeah.
And I think I saw a thread on Twitter where when that happens, it seems like it don't bet all the unders this week is basically what I'm saying. It's very unlikely to happen again because this was the first game. They didn't really play too much preseason. So the offenses will adjust a little bit and maybe the scoring does go up a little bit. That's a, sort of a takeaway. I have that from a betting standpoint. Jake, do you have any specific thoughts on that? Anything stand out to you specifically that you want to talk about?
I mean, I think you guys nailed it in terms of the scoring stuff. I mean, for me, first of all, I mean, Zay Flowers, his usage was absolutely absurd this week, and he looked great with the ball in his hands. I mean, he's going to be super popular, in these upcoming weeks for DFS. It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, I believe he had a 60% first read target share, which is just an absurd number. I doubt it'll, be that high, assuming Mark Andrews comes back, but still, he looked really good with the ball in his hands. Really love Zay Flowers. Obviously the Rams, the usage we saw out of Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams was very surprising. But also, I mean, I just loved what I saw from the Colts. Like the run game revolved around Anthony Richardson. The team posted a positive pass rate over expectation. We saw Deion Jackson earn 18.5 expected fantasy points. He was terrible. I mean, if Zach Moss comes back, he's 4,700 in DFS on DraftKings this week. Like we'll talk about him later, but he's going to be a total smash play. But really, I mean, Deion Jackson being inefficient is just even better for Richardson because they're just going to run him so much in the red zone. I think Anthony Richardson is, has pretty good odds to finish as a top six fantasy quarterback this week. And I'm really excited because I took a ton of him in best ball. So yeah,
and we'll have a little segment on Richardson versus maybe another popular quarterback once we start talking some DFS. But yeah, Graham, you want to wrap it up? Anything else? Takeaways really stand out to you? That Zay Flowers, the first read stuff, you can get access to all of that on the fantasy points tools. But when teams are drawing up these first read plays for a rookie like Zay Flowers, I mean, this is some very important stuff you need to know to be able to use for DFS and sports. I mean, if we knew they were going to do that, right, we would have been smashing the overs all week long on that. Anything else stand out to you?
Just in regard to the Ravens, it was Zay Flowers at the top in terms of route share. He was around 85 to 86%. And then OBJ was around 70, 75%. And then they just like rotated. Isaiah Likely was a part-time player this week. He was the chalkiest of the chalk. Reason he didn't get there is because he was running a route on like 50% of the dropbacks. They need Mark Andrews back. I think Flowers' first read target share will go down obviously massively, but if anything, it's probably a bull case for him long term to be around like 25% as the Ravens' lead wide receiver. One final takeaway I had just from the Giants Cowboys game on Sunday night, it's like Tony Pollard is, if you drafted him in your season long league, you got to be sitting pretty right now. And this week, it's a tough matchup against the Jets, but he's only 7,400 on DK, I believe. Yeah, 7,500 on DK. If he's going to get all the goal line work, guys, like he is going to be a monster play every single week, regardless of matchup. Last year, Pollard only got 12 carries inside the 10-yard line, scored 3 touchdowns on those. against the Giants on Sunday night, he got 5 carries inside the 10, scored 2 touchdowns. Last year, Zeke was 3rd among all running backs and inside the 10 carries with 26. I mean, even if Pollard gets to like 20 to 25 this year, I mean, his upside weekly is crazy good, especially with this Cowboys defense being amazing. I mean, they're going to keep him in so many games, keep Pollard involved in a lot of games, a lot of good game scripts this year. So I'm going to be heavy on Tony Pollard. And I think this week will probably be a week where not many people will be super heavy on him against this tough Jets front. But I think Pollard projects really, really well as a value early in the week here.
Yeah, but no Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's got to be an extra touchdown baked into the Cowboys offense this week because of turnover expectations.
9.5 now, I think. Got blown up, man. I mean, they're 9.5-point favorites now.
Yeah, so that's to be expected. There's a couple takeaways from Graham and Jake about week one. We'll try to continue this segment throughout the season and see if there's anything else we can sort of dive into and figure out what we can use for both DFS and sports betting. But I want to go to our stand segment. We're going to be doing this as well, where we sort of take a stand every single week on a team, a game, something like that. Mine last week was I thought there was a total that was way too low given the defenses that these offenses were playing. That was the Packers Bears. I think the Packers almost hit the 43 total themselves. They're still scoring points. My take this week, we'll get to it in the sports betting segment, is I have there's a team out there that's a home underdog, and I don't know why. They should certainly be the favorite, in my opinion. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. Graham, going to you, what's your stand for the week?
Yeah, I'm going to be double stacking an LA quarterback. And I think this quarterback is probably going to be pretty popular. Great matchup. We'll talk about it a little bit in the DFS segment, but both of his receivers are cheap enough, project extremely well, especially given their price range. We'll talk about it a little bit later. I'm excited
all
for that.
Right. Jake, close us out with the stands.
Yeah, I am. I'm buying low on one of these New York offenses, and it is definitely the offense you think it is. But we will talk.
Can't
about
be
that
the Jets. I mean, Breece Hall, man. What?
I mean, it could be the Mets.
Only the quarterback.
Yeah. It could be the Mets. I mean, come on. It could be the Mets.
Too late for that. Too late for that.
Okay. It's also too late for the Yankees too.
So. all right. So with that out of the way, I want to tell you about our friends over at Ticketmaster. More memories are made when you're there for live NFL action. And when you need tickets, Ticketmaster's got you covered. As the official marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster gives you more ways to find your perfect seat. Their interactive seat maps give you a 360-degree preview of your section to make sure you have the best view of those pivotal plays. And if your plans change, Ticketmaster gives you more flexibility to sell or transfer your tickets. Plus, mobile tickets make getting in on game day a breeze, and you can even customize your Ticketmaster app to rep your team's colors. Find your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NFL. All right, let's talk some DFS, right? It's Tuesday. We don't have ownership projections. We don't really know who's going to be highly owned. There's a lot of injury news still to be settled. So take everything we say with this with a grain of salt, because nothing on Tuesday is certainly going to be set in stone. But I guess, Jake, I want to go to you first. What are some of your DFS plays? What are your early thoughts on the week? I know you write a very early week article over at Fantasy Points, so you've probably actually dug into this more than 99.99% of people already. Let's go to you first. What are you looking at?
Yeah, so I write the DFS early look over at Fantasy Points. Totally free article. Comes out Tuesday mornings. But yeah, looking ahead to this week, I really like Purdy double stacks. Brock Purdy only 5,700. I mean, we saw him play really strong game last weekend. I mean, one of the most efficient quarterbacks on a per start basis that we've seen. 19.8 DraftKings fantasy points per game in his 8 fully healthy starts on this slate. That ranks behind only Josh Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Justin Fields. And like I said, I mean, just a tremendously efficient quarterback. The doubles with him, I think, are great because, you know, you can work in McCaffrey, who saw just amazing usage in a blowout win, 100% of red zone snaps. His season high last year with San Francisco was 62%. Elijah Mitchell had a career low since the McCaffrey trade, snap share of 15%. So love McCaffrey, obviously Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, all strong plays there. Beyond that, I've been looking at, obviously I mentioned Zach Moss. I mean, Yeah, he's going to be like by far the most popular running back, I think, if he plays. I mean, Deion Jackson is terrible, and we saw him earn a bell cow workload last week. Another guy I'm looking at is Travis Etienne. He posted by far the best route share of his career at 83% in week one. His previous high was 58%, and his five receptions in week one were his most since the 2020 college football playoff. And in a game, you know, playing the Chiefs as underdogs, things could get away from Jacksonville here. I really like Etienne as like a run back if you are stacking Mahomes. Another game stack that I'm really going to be heavy on. I think most people will be looking at Kansas City, Jacksonville. That is the highest total of the slate. I've been looking at Seattle, Detroit. I mean, obviously we saw this game shoot out last year. Jared Goff and Amon-Ra at home are just absolute monsters. So I think that's going to be a game that, you know, I'm going to be all over. That'll probably be my highest owned game this week. But again, you know, it's Tuesday. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, Jake, I want to ask you because, we wanted to talk about this with Patrick Mahomes. You know, I think everyone's going to be targeting the KC Jacksonville game. And everyone wants to play double stacks and triple stacks and you run it back with somebody. One, with Patrick Mahomes, if Travis Kelce plays and everything's good to go on him, that's the obvious pairing, right? I feel personally, if you get the one or two other pieces of the seven or eight players on Kansas City that could have a good game, you're obviously going to be doing well in a tournament. But you have to burn so many lineups, in my opinion, with this. If you're trying to double stack, obviously the Mahomes Kelce makes a lot of sense. Is there anything we can take away from that Kansas City offense week one without Travis Kelce that we can put into a game where Travis Kelce plays that we can figure out anything for DFS? It's just, it seems almost impossible to figure out what this Kansas City offense is going to look like outside of those two pieces this year.
Yeah, I'm having a really hard time deciphering things. I mean, both Rashee Rice and Kadarius Toney saw really good target volume relative to their route share, but they also both only ran like 11 or 12 routes each. Sky Moore was out there a lot, didn't see many targets. It's, you know, it's just really tough to decipher. I think, you know, beyond Mahomes and Kelce, I'm probably looking at MVS, as gross as it is. And, you know, after that, you know, mostly the Jacksonville side of that game. It is really tough. At the same time, though, I think if you do want to stack that game, it makes a lot of sense to fire, you know, like 150 sets and MME. So that way you can, you know, cover a lot of these ancillary options for Kansas City.
Yeah, if I was like playing a single entry, I don't know, unless it's just Mahomes and Kelce, I don't know. It's pretty tough to try to run it back. Do you have any takes on this Kansas City offense? It's going to be a very popular game. I really like the ETN call from Jake because the Gibbs receptions stuff didn't come through week one, but Kansas City, that they just give it up to to running backs out of the backfield. And if ETN is going to have that pass catching role, this Tank Bigsby stuff has sort of fallen by the wayside. ETN, at least for week one, established himself as close to as a bell cow as you can get. But what can we do with this Kansas City offense, Graham? Because I don't know, it looks like a mess trying to figure something out other than Mahomes to Kelce.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jake, on ETN this week for sure. Love that call. As for the KC offense, I'm kind of with Jake that MVS might be my favorite if Kelce plays. He's got the one like breakneck, you know, big play ability in this offense. We know he's going to be out there for at least 70% of the routes. I'm with you though. I think in general, if Kelce plays and you're building Mahomes teams, it's centered around Kelce and Mahomes. And then you're just, you know, praying to get the Jags guys right. On FanDuel real quick. I mean, Calvin Ridley's price, he's like $100 cheaper, than the wide receiver one, Jamar Chase on FanDuel. On DraftKings, he's still a really strong value. I think he's not, priced up correctly just yet. So I think Ridley will project probably as the highest owned player. I know we don't have ownership projections in, but he's only 7,200, I believe. He's going to be massive, massive chalk on DK this week, given that game total, given that game environment. Also given, I mean, there's not a ton of high total game this week. So I think it'll just kind of boost up that game even more.
Yeah, it's ugly, which I don't know. What else are you looking at from a DFS perspective, Graham, out there on the streets? If it's not Kansas City, Jacksonville, that game's going to get talked up beyond belief across every part of Roto Grinders, every part of Fantasy Points articles over the course of this week. What else could there possibly be?
Yeah, it will. It will. That game's going to get steamed. I am going to be all in on Justin Herbert doubles. Mike Williams got hurt in the middle of the game. Austin Eckler got hurt in the middle of the game. And I was mentioning at the top, they ran the ball so freaking well. They didn't really have to throw it that much to stay in the game. You know, they just ran so well, even with Joshua Kelly. This is a totally different spot, though. Justin Herbert up against the Tennessee Titans. What do we know about Mike Vrabel defenses? He loves to funnel to the pass, and he loves to funnel specifically to the outsides. And again, last week, I mean, Brett, you were on it, man. I mean, Olave, Thomas, Rashid, all those dudes got there. Last year, Titans gave up the most fantasy points to wide receivers. Like, if you just bend it out to like the outside versus inside guys, it doesn't really matter. Like, they stink everywhere. Gave up 51 fantasy points in week one. Only the Chargers gave up more. Thanks to a guy named Tyreek Hill. So yeah, I think Keenan Allen projects really well. He'll probably come in a lot lower owned than Calvin Ridley. And then Mike Williams is way too cheap, man. Like, this past week, you know, Kellen Moore told us during the offseason, like, hey, I really want to get Mike Williams involved in the slot more, right? Like, we got to take advantage of his speed. We got to take advantage of his size. And I know he didn't have a good game in the box score, but he ran 45% of his routes from the slot. Like, that would have easily been a season high last year. He was at 15% in the slot in the old offense under Joe Lombardi. So that's, I mean, that's kind of huge for Mike Williams long-term, is for him to just get some more layup targets in the slot, use his size and speed against some smaller DBs and some linebackers will be nice. And I mean, Keenan still got it, man. Just watching the game this morning, like, he's, you know, 31, but I mean, he's out there shaking dudes like he's 28. We'll see how long it lasts. But for now, I mean, Keenan's fully healthy. I think Justin Herbert is going to go off in this game. My big question then becomes is like, who'd play on the Titans? Because Ryan Tannehill was so bad last week, just forcing jump ball after jump ball to DeAndre Hopkins. So I kind of like Chig Okonkwo as a bring back early in the week, but by and large, I mean, the Titans might fold in this spot. If anything, I might bet Chargers here. So
if Austin Eckler's out, is Josh Kelly this week's Jamal Williams? It's the same team.
Yeah.
Are we all going to hold hands and play the same guy against the Titans run defense for a second week in a row?
He was going to project similarly. I think so.
Yeah, I would assume, like, Jamal Williams only came in around, you know, 15-20%. I would assume Josh Kelly would be significantly higher around this week, because he doesn't have the reputation of being terrible like Jamal Williams does.
Williams did score a lot of touchdowns, but we all know those are can be a lot of variance year to year in touchdown scored. A couple of things I want to talk about. Anthony Richardson, I mean, I don't know. I would have, if I was doing DraftKings pricing, I know they don't make huge adjustments. They let it take a couple of weeks, but I would have vaulted him directly into the 7K tier of quarterbacks with his rushing ability. He's just 6,300. With that Jacksonville game, Trevor Lawrence is 6,700. Jake, this is going to cause some, you know, dispersed ownership off of Richardson, specifically in cash. I think I'm, you know, it's Tuesday. I generally main cash. I do dabble in tournaments for NFL. It's basically the only sport I'll throw my head into those. But I don't know. Richardson looks pretty good at 6,300 as a quarterback. Would you take him over, you know, a more established quarterback in the game of the week, Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love Richardson. I think he's the top, like the clear top quarterback play of the week, especially in cash. Like, you need that rushing floor. And he's just, I mean, he's such a good athlete. And, you know, with the 6 design rush attempts, led all quarterbacks this past week. Yeah, he's a tremendous talent. And I think, you know, the best is yet to come for Richardson.
The 6 design rushing attempts, that's like Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields territory already. It's week one, you know, and like, I was kind of off Richardson last week. I thought, you know, Jags pass rush would get there a little bit more. And, you know, he got a fluky pick from Tank Bigsby, you know, ball clanging off his helmet. But you're right. Richardson looked the part, looked poised. Accuracy was pretty good. I mean, I think the big takeaway from him week one was they didn't really let him chuck it. Only 2 throws of 20 plus yards downfield. We want to obviously see that come up. Hopefully it comes up this week with the Texans. This game has like sneaky, like, you know, kind of bad shootout appeal. Like, there's probably going to be a couple turnovers, but man, this game could get to 50.
You just stole. So I haven't written up the over yet on scores and odds, but I'm debating it because this is the sneaky stack. It's under 40.
Oh, it's,
I think
40,
it's like 39 or 40. And
it's 40 this, even.
This to me is the stack, because it was a very concentrated route tree in week one. And whatever happens in week one, we do like to react to it. But I don't know. It seems like it's going to, like, these offenses are going to do the same thing again, right? It's going to be Michael Pittman. It's going to be, I think Zach Moss will be a pretty good play. You can run that back. It was all Robert Woods. It was all a Nico Collins, right? Very concentrated offense in the passing game. So this looks like a really intriguing stack from both sides. It's reasonably cheap. We don't have the mega wide receivers. We don't have Tyreek Hill. We don't have Justin Jefferson this week. Chase disappointed a little bit. We'll see how high his ownership gets. But I don't know. I'm on this Houston Indianapolis game to be a little bit higher scoring. And if that is, these guys look pretty good in DFS. A couple other wide receivers I'm on. I really like Amon-Ra St. Brown, maybe more from a cash perspective than a tournament. He did average 21.5 DraftKings points per game last year at home. And that is also where Jared Goff excelled. And they're going up against the Seattle last year, right? No one wanted to play pass catchers against Seattle. And then the Rams go out there and dice him up. So we'll have to see what happens in there. But Amon-Ra has been too good dating back all the way to last season. And I think he looks very, very juicy at that 7,800. I like Ridley. I like Allen. I don't know. Do we need to – last week we're all clamoring for the 3K wide receivers, and we all generally missed on which 3K wide receiver was the one that we needed. Now they're all like 5K wide receivers. Do we need a 5K wide receiver this week, or can we just – you know, if we get Kelly and we have Zach Moss, and I think we all agree Moss is a little bit better than Deion Jackson, so he'll project quite a bit better, and he should be the guy if he's back this week. You know, a trio of Allen, Amon-Ra, Calvin Ridley, I mean, that looks pretty juicy if you can make – last week you were able to jam in three of the top wide receivers. You can still do that this week, I think. That's where I'm leaning to start the week. It's Tuesday. Who knows what really happens. But those are a couple of my DFS thoughts right now. Oh, and one, I know the blitz for Mr. Derek Carty was really high on Tampa Bay last week. They're playing the Bears. It's Tampa Bay stacks. Let's get some Baker Mayfield shipping $1 million, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Kate Otten basically was almost like an every snap player. Can make some really fun teams. White, I believe he showed up on the Bell Cow report or one of – there's so many different reports on the Fantasy Points data suite that he looks like he could have a little bit higher performance than what he posted in week one. So a lot of fun ways to make.
If you sort by snap share, I think he was like RB5 on the week.
Yeah, he's way up there.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Yeah. ETN usage is nice too, man. I mean, good Lord. That's like, I think it was the fourth highest of his career.
Tank Bigsby, bro, man. He's going to come in and steal all the work from him. That's definitely.
Yeah. I think people have pointed this out before. If Tank had a different name, like, he probably wouldn't have got as near as much hype. Like, his name was just like John Bigsby, you know, like, he would not have gotten near as much hype.
Who'd they draft? Yeah.
Real quick, if we have a second, Jake brought up Purdy double stacks, and that was like almost my stand. I almost made that my stand this week. I love that call because, you know, you're kind of mentioning there's probably not going to be a ton of need for 5K receivers this week, especially because the top is so good. But Debo and Ayuk are still too cheap. Playing the Rams, like, I love that call. And Purdy has just been like a walking, you know, 250 and two line. You know, if the Rams do push them a little bit and force them to throw a little bit, I think there's some underrated upside with Purdy. So,
Jake, what do you think of Purdy? Is he good, or is he good because he has Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey?
It's probably a combination of both. Like, he's definitely better than like Nick Mullins. I don't think he's like some world beating quarterback or anything like that, but no, yeah, I mean, he's just in a great position. And the other nice thing about Purdy is, like, because he like isn't really perceived as a rushing quarterback, like, he never carries any ownership. He'll probably be a little more popular this week because he projects very well. But last week he was 1%, which was just like in big tournaments, which was just ridiculous. He'll probably be, you know, 3-5% this week. But even then, I mean, no one's going to want to double stack him. Like, for whatever reason, I think people perceive these San Francisco double stacks as being kind of gross when in reality, they're super juicy.
Yeah, and Purdy can play, man. Dude, his pocket awareness is good. Like, they blitzed him a ton, and he stood in there. He hangs in the pocket. I mean, he doesn't have a live arm. You know, it's not like he's got the best arm talent in the NFL. It's not like he's going to be pushing wow throws to the boundaries. But, I mean, he processes well. He hangs in the pocket. He delivers quick and accurate balls over the middle. And with this offense, like, that's all you really need, man. It's just like, be within rhythm and timing, put it in the right spot, and these guys will run after the catch. We saw that time and time again this week against a good defense too. Now they play a really, really bad defense.
So we're doing Purdy double stacks. We'll throw in Keenan Allen from Graham. We'll do Mike Evans, maybe a Zach Moss. Sound good? We're getting there.
Oh yeah,
we're getting
That's a million dollar lineup.
Yeah, we'll throw something together. All right. If you like that, I was showing Lineup HQ during all that for those watching on YouTube. If you like Lineup HQ, NFL's here, and we're more ready than ever. Our team of experts and suite of tools. You can let Roto Grinders handle all the legwork, so you can work less and win more this NFL season. You can get access to everything we have to offer at a special discount available only to those without a current Roto Grinders subscription. So if you don't have anything and you want to check it out, you can get $50 off a limited time price for the season of $375. You get Lineup HQ, all the articles, and everything else we have to offer here at Roto Grinders. All right, let's get to my personal favorite part of the show. Well, I love sports betting. I love DFS. But guys, let's get into the data tools here at Fantasy Points. I guess, Jake, I'm going to start with you with the bell cow report, because we're going to need running backs that touch the ball a lot, that get a lot of fantasy points, that can turn their expected fantasy points. I don't want Deion Jackson in his 18.5 expected fantasy points when he gets 5.8, right? I want Austin Eckler when he's expected to get 23 and he scores 29. That's what I'm looking for. What can we figure out? I'm looking at the bell cow report right now. What's on here? What can we use for week two?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. So, we default our sort by expected fantasy points, which is, you know, I think clearly the most important stat for running backs. What really stood out to me here, I mean, obviously, you know, Tyler Algier really hurting Bijan Robinson's usage, finishing ninth in expected fantasy points. But the big surprise to me was Javonte Williams, who actually tied with Algier. I did not expect Javonte Williams to see this big of a workload in week one. I think that bodes very well for his future fantasy prospects. Does concern me a little bit coming off the big knee injury that they're feeding him so much. But at the same time, I mean, you know, if you drafted him, you're sitting pretty. And then if we sort by snapshot, I mean, we already discussed guys like Rashad White, James Conner, obviously didn't perform very well, but snaps are extremely important to, you know, running backs producing. And, you know, those guys as late round volume based picks do seem to be, you know, overall correct process. At the same time, though, if they, you know, if they continue to underperform, there would be a bit of a risk that they could get benched. But we can also filter to inside the 20. So if you go to the advanced filters on the left, yeah, and then under play filters and then yards to goal, I think it's to the left column. Yeah, there you go. Inside the 20, then we will see usage and snap shares from just the red zone, which is super helpful. So I had a tweet earlier today that Christian McCaffrey and Rashad White were the only two players who saw 100% of their team's red zone snaps. Obviously, super valuable for their respective roles. I thought Raheem Mostert's usage was also pretty, like, surprisingly good. He actually led all running backs in snaps from either out wide or in the slot. Plus, he had the great red zone usage. And then, you know, Kyren Williams, I mean, talk about the surprise of the week. Like everyone thought like Cam Akers rushing prop was like high 70s, low 80s. And then Kyren Williams comes in and absorbs all the usage. I mean, yeah. And you can figure all this stuff out in the Bell Cup report. I mean, it tells you everything you need to know.
For those running waivers, Kyren Williams or Joshua Kelly as your RB1 ad. Which one?
Yeah. I'm going Kyren. I got Kyren as the top one.
Me too.
I go
Kyren. I've been a Cam Akers stan for a long time. Florida State boy. I loved him yards created, but man, he Achilles tears are no joke. Very, very few running backs can come back from him. And you know, I think the Kyren usage might be an indictment on just that, you know. But yeah, Bell Cow Report is probably the single most valuable tool for running backs on the internet. And those filters on the left-hand side, I mean, between filtering, you know, between yards to goal, filtering by quarter, filtering by down to down and distance, you can see, you know, which backs are playing on long down and distance. That's something like Joe Mixon has never actually done well. But seriously, Bell Cow Report is the, I mean, I spent probably 4 hours in there this morning just updating my notes and getting my articles ready.
I got a question for you. These are all downloadable as well, correct?
Yep. The CSV. So if you click the down, it looks like the download button on the bottom left corner of the filters on the left hand side. We go all the way.
Oh, yep. I see it there. Right there. Yeah. So I'm not going to do it for everybody live. Yeah. But yeah, for those of you who are data nerds and have your own Excel capabilities, which I have lacked in over the years, a little better than they used to be, but certainly nowhere where they need to be, you can download all of this stuff right into your spreadsheets and use this as your main data source. What do you want to talk about, Graham? You want to go the wide receiver running back efficiency? You got something else up your sleeve?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll do that. And we'll look at some efficiency for receivers. Tyreek Hill, I mean, we'll pop at the top here when we get there. But yeah, efficiency report is going to be your one-stop shop, kind of like Bell Cow Report. You know, we chase volume at running back. Efficiency doesn't really matter too much. But this is your efficiency report for everything, rushing and receiving. We sort by, let's sort by, go to the right and we'll sort by yards per route run. Yeah, that middle stat there. We might have to get a target filter. Probably will. Breece Hall, look at that. Oh my goodness. Every single efficiency stat. But yeah, you can sort by yards per route run. You can go up to position and we can look at just receiver here. Yeah, we'll just look at receiver. And it should be Tyreek Hill at the top. I think Brandon Ayuk was second in yards per route run this past week. Yeah, this is just the spot for every efficiency stat you can have. Look, CeeDee Lamb, small efficiency, small sample. Obviously, didn't have to throw very much, but strong efficiency from him. If Giants kept that game moderately close, Lamb would have had like 120. But yeah, this is your spot for filtering through efficiency. If you want to go to the left-hand side, again, advanced filters, you have all the coverage stats you could possibly want and go through and sort through there. But yeah, efficiency report, good spot here.
Yeah, just so much data, yards after contact, touches. If you just want your basic stuff, see how many targets you got. Like DeAndre Hopkins, right? Just what, 13 targets week one, alpha his whole career. Not really sure how it's going to show. Week one, boom, comes right out. Focal point of the passing offense. Great run back this week if you're trying to play Herbert, if you're trying to play Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. Absolutely love DeAndre Hopkins. And Chig didn't really pop on any statistics, but that dude was running routes, and he was out there more than he's ever been. He's also very interesting.
Career high snap rate for him, and Ryan Tannehill missed him on like a gorgeous flea flicker. It was like the most perfect design, and Chig was wide open. He missed him. I like Chig this week. Nuke, man, 13 targets against that Saints secondary. They needed to dial up some more plays to Treylon Burks and get these other guys involved. That their passing offense completely stagnated. But yeah, I'm with you on Hopkins being a pretty strong play this week.
Yeah, I don't see them really going away from Hopkins any point in the season. Maybe it's Ryan Tannehill. Maybe it's Hopkins being a little older, but I don't know. I think he's still clearly the miles ahead of Burks in terms of overall NFL talent right now. All right, let's talk some sports bets. This is, you know, I have access here. I live in New York. I have access to I don't know, 10 different sports books. I can play all the fantasy pick'em sites. I'm in heaven over here. I got DFS, literal heaven to be a professional gambler, DFS player, et cetera, et cetera. So sports betting is becoming pretty popular nationwide, FanDuel, DraftKings, and plenty of other sports sites as well. But I've got a couple of bets this week that I'm really interested on. And I teased at the beginning a team I thought Vegas – well, Vegas don't make the lines anymore, right? Someone overseas makes them, and then everyone else in America copies them right to the T as fast as possible so they don't get harbed out or anything like that. But the team that's the underdog that I'm on this week is the Atlanta Falcons. So they are – they have established the run. I love the guys over at Establish the Run, but the Falcons have established the run, and the Packers for a long, long time have been absolutely horrible against the run. And this is going to play right into the Falcons' hands this week. First, the Packers, this is their second road game. This is the Falcons' second home game. I think the Falcons have a reasonably good defense. I don't have to worry about Jair Alexander with Drake London's getting two targets for Drake London this week. I'll take the under unless this game gets really out of hand, but I'm on the Falcons. I just think Bijan, I think Algier, these guys are just going to run all over the Packers. Ball control. I don't know why they're the home underdog just because the Packers went out and scored a bunch of points against the Bears. The Bears' defense was truly horrific last year. It doesn't look like anything's changed. The Falcons, I think, have a reasonably good defense, and they're going to play some of that against Jordan Love. I expect a close game, and it was a little closer to a pick'em. I think you can get them at plus 106 on FanDuel currently. Doesn't really make much sense to me. I think this line should be flipped. Either of you have a take? This is basically my biggest stand of the week right now.
I like it personally. Packers probably going to catch a little steam. We'll see tomorrow what it looks like, but I'm with you on Falcons defense being a lot better than people thought. They've added some actually good players like Jesse Bates at safety. Jeff Okuda didn't play in week one, but I have a lot of respect for AJ Terrell as a player. They don't have a great pass rush, but they have serviceable players along the defensive line now that can actually stop the run. So I'm with you. I think Falcons defense is a little underrated. Jordan Love had some really big splash plays this past week. Obviously, he had the big play to Aaron Jones, but our data team charted him as off target at the third highest rate this past week. Love has incredible arm talent, but he's going to throw some picks this year. There's going to be some wildly off target throws. I'm bullish on Love long term, actually, but I'm with you in this spot. I like Falcons. And I might actually take this myself, especially at plus money. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Yeah.
Graham, so I followed you in on one. So we talked about this pre-show. They weren't on the main slate. So it sort of blew my mind when the Cleveland Browns were just -2 against the Steelers. Why don't you talk about this one?
Yeah, I love Browns -2. I got it at -110 on DraftKings. I was on this last week. I just think the Browns have a really good defense. I think they have the perfect defensive coordinator for their talent. And we saw this week, Myles Garrett was lining up at all over the place. He was lining up out wide. They were putting him at 3-tech. They're Euro stepping him with playing him as a linebacker, an off-ball linebacker, then blitzing him. Just bananas good usage for Garrett. And Schwartz is a very aggressive coach. This week they're going to play Kenny Pickett without Deontay Johnson, who's his only receiver that can get open quickly. George Pickens is just a vertical guy. Allen Robinson is only a slot player now. So I think Brown should be at least getting 3. I was surprised they're at 2. I think this will move to 2.5, 3 tomorrow. And I'm getting in on it now, but it's really just more about Brown's defense. I have a lot. I think this is a defense to be bullish on, and I think they're going to be completely completely outman the Steelers offense.
Browns offense also much better than the Steelers offense. So
yeah, that's the other thing.
Big talent mismatch.
Yeah, Watson missed throws. He grounded a couple throws that were open, but by and large they moved the ball well. Chubb looked great. Run game looked great. Watson was getting a couple design carries. So. Yeah, there's a couple twos out there. DK, Bet Rivers. I think that's Unibet. So, yeah, hop on that too.
Jake, I'm on the Giants as well. Why don't you talk about them? We'll get both of your bets. We'll circle around. We'll get all these bets out of the way right now.
All right, yeah. So the Giants obviously got blown out by Dallas, totally embarrassed. But I think this line against Arizona is a pretty big overreaction. I think it was 4 this morning, and it's out to 5.5 pretty much everywhere. I think it closes closer to 6, 6.5. Arizona, I mean, come on, they're a disaster. New York is not going to look that bad in future weeks. Like the difference between Dallas's pass rush and Arizona's pass rush is absolutely massive. So, yeah, I want New York -5.5 against Arizona. That's -110 pretty much everywhere. And then my other pick is the Chargers -3. You can get that at -110 over at Caesars at the Titans. I thought the Chargers offense looked pretty dang good last week. Obviously, you know, efficient on the ground. The Titans are a tough rushing matchup, but one thing the Titans are really terrible at is defending the pass, especially deep. And we know Justin Herbert has an absolute cannon. Keenan Allen, you know, looked really good. He was the only Chargers player with multiple targets of 20 plus yards. I think they're going to feed him deep. I could see Los Angeles winning this game by multiple scores, especially given, I mean, the Tennessee offense looked pretty bad. Like Hopkins was not generating much separation. Tannehill looked really rough last week. So yeah, love the Chargers -3.
I feel like, it just seems like these lines are very off from what we would expect for a lot of these games this week. Graham, that's what I've sort of come into from my analysis. Like another game I was on, I'm on the Dolphins at -2. I couldn't believe this. I saw the Dolphins are a legit Super Bowl team and the Patriots are not. And I don't understand. It's the second. So this is sort of why it's the opposite of why I like the Falcons. The Falcons had the second home game, the Packers second road game. This is so the Patriots have that advantage this week. The Dolphins second road game, Patriots second home game. But I'm throwing that out the window because the Dolphins are just a really good football team. Their offense is electric. When Tua is healthy, Mike McDaniel is basically he's unstoppable. This offense is unstoppable. And I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to do too much. They slowed down the Eagles a little bit. Mac Jones had basically the best game of his career to keep this game a little close. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that again 2 weeks in a row. The Dolphins -2. Against New England, I would have this at -3.5, -4. It's sitting at 2 basically on FanDuel right now. It's 2.5 everywhere else. One of my favorite ones. And then the other one I want to put in for the show this week, we're going to go with the old Wong teaser. Everyone loves the Wong teaser. We're going to do the chalk teaser of the week. We're going to take the Eagles. We're going to take the 49ers and a 6-point teaser across the 7 and 3 on both of them. I don't know who's betting the Vikings, but I think the Eagles were -7.5 to start. DraftKings had them at 6.5. So it's actually crossed the 7 already at one book. I don't know if that's going to follow. I don't know if Kenny Gainwell news is what's moving the line, but I'm firmly on the Eagles. They are light years better than the Vikings, who were extremely fraudulent last year. We saw that already take a step in week 1, where they lose a 1-score game after they went 11-0 in 1-score games last year. They lost one to the Buccaneers. What are they going to be able to do against the Eagles? Come on. Eagles teaser, 49ers teaser, 6-point. You can get that at -120 on DraftKings. I know some sites out there, if you do cross the 7 and 3 on the teaser, they juice the odds in their favor. DraftKings does not do that. Play your teasers on DraftKings. Graham, let's close out. What else is the final bet of the week you want to get down here?
Yeah, I got on Bengals at 3 this morning. I found a -115. I think it got juiced a little bit, and I think it's up to 3.5 in most spots. I'm just kind of buying a bounce back from Burrow. Now, that's really what this kind of comes down to. Ravens are a little discombobulated. J.K. Dobbins is out for the season. I think their run game is going to suffer immensely without him. Gus Edwards is really their only like sustaining early down guy. We're not really sure about Mark Andrews either. I think this is a good spot to hop on Bengals. Their defense will bounce back. This will be, a low-scoring game. So if you want to like parlay and play Bengals in the under, I think that makes some sense for this spot. 46.5 looks a little high, given how bad these two offenses were in week 1. By and large, Brett, I'm with you, though. I think we're going to see a lot better scoring this week. We'll see everything normalize a little more. But this game did stuck out as one that did look a little high to me.
All right. So there were some sports bets for some of you who can't or who aren't lucky enough to live in a sports betting state. We have the fantasy pick 'em sites, Prize Picks, Underdog. There's a couple others out there as well. So I've dialed up a 5-pick real quick on Prize Picks on Underdog. I tend to play the 5 picks. They are the best long-term odds. If you do like a 2-pick on Prize Picks, your odds are like -137. You do a 5-pick based on how they pay out. It's like a -119. If you add in correlation too, then you're getting way ahead of what the actual lines are too. So I've got a little 5-pick for you with some correlation. Jake, I'm on your Chargers here. I've got Herbert and Keenan Allen. Herbert over 291.5. Keenan Allen more than 67 receiving yards. Going to take a little stack on that one. If you same game parlay those, you know, on a sports book, you get hit. The payouts don't change on either Prize Picks or Underdog. So a great way to play correlated stacks instead of the same game parlay is on the fantasy pick'em sites. And I've got a trio of running backs. I think lines are just way too low. Josh Jacobs, bell cow, right? He was way up there on the bell cow report. He is undisputedly back into the exact same role he was last year. I don't care that it's against Buffalo, that the game script might not go his way. Buffalo looked absolutely horrible. I think some of that was the Jets defense. The Raiders defense, not exactly the same, but 65 and a half for a guy who could legitimately threaten for 20 plus rushes every single game looks way too low. Bijan, I'm on Atlanta. I don't care about Tyler Algier. He got a lot of his work in the fourth quarter as the closer, right? I don't know why, but I think Bijan's line at 64 and a half is way too low. And Miles Sanders sneakily played a lot of snaps, ran the ball a lot, played pretty well. We saw Derrick Henry have a reasonable game. I think Miles Sanders, 50 and a half, this is disrespectful of the role that Miles Sanders currently has going up against New Orleans. So 50 and a half of those three running backs with a little correlation from Herbert and Keenan Allen, go get that on the Prize Picks. Jake, what's your fantasy pick and play of the week?
Yeah, so over on Underdog, I got Tua over 270 and a half passing yards. They actually also have a promo deal where you can play Tua over 277 total yards, and that enters you for a shot to win, I think, just like 10K in cash.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a great promo from Underdog.
Yeah, that's a pretty great promo. So yeah, obviously love Tua this week. I'm buying, you know, the Giants bounce back. I mean, Darren Waller is the wide receiver one in New York. So I really like Darren Waller over 49 and a half receiving yards. I mean, he did lead the team in targets last week in a total disaster showing. New York's not going to get shut out against Arizona. So I'm leaning into, you know, the Giants making a bit of a comeback there. And then I like the Bengals. I like Burrow over 263 and a half passing yards and Jamar Chase over 79 and a half. T. Higgins also has a number, I think, in the high 50s, low 60s. That's pretty nice as well. So I really like the Bengals stacks to kind of round out my my pick four on Underdog.
Yeah, if you're definitely try to get some sort of correlation with quarterbacks and wide receivers or something like that when you play the fantasy pick'em sites, it really pushes things in your favor, in my opinion. Graham, let's close out week two. Fantasy pick'em for you.
Yeah, I was trying to find a couple the pick'ems are a little slow to come out here. I have just two, and my first one is Debo Samuel over 50 and a half. I think anytime Debo's floating in this like 49 to 50 range, he's going to make a lot of sense. And then you mix in the fact the Rams are going to have one of, I think by the numbers, by midseason, they're going to have one of the worst defenses against wide receivers. Debo obviously has explosive yardage upside. Any given week, he suits it up. But 50 and a half over on Prize Picks looked a little low. The other one, based on early projections that I'm working through that looked a little low, is Chris Olave over 62 and a half. Obviously was the number one wide receiver, number one target for Derek Carr this past week. Saints obviously are going to be looking to throw deep all season long. It's a big part of what they're going to be doing. They're going to be looking to throw deep, set up play action, set up the run game. Saints this week, Olave makes a ton of sense at the 62 and a half range. They're playing the Panthers. No JC Horn. That's their best outside corner. My only concern with this prop is that the Panthers get smoked again and the Saints don't really have to throw too much, but just looking at median projection for the week, I think Olave's prop look a little low on prize picks.
It could be like three receptions for Olave too. So like
it really could be, man. He is certainly unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And you got to think maybe New Orleans realizes, hey, maybe Jamal Williams ain't it. Maybe we should throw the ball. Might make some sense. So I love these two. Certainly willing to mix those in over on prize picks. That's going to do it for week two of the Prime Points show. You get some reaction to week one. You get some DFS. You get some sports betting. You get some fantasy pick'em. You get the data tools. Basically run the gambit early on Tuesday because really you don't want us just giving DFS picks on a Tuesday, even though this is a Roto-Grinders show and we do daily fantasy. But there's so much injury news. There's so much else. We're trying to mix it up for you. Let me know. You can shoot me a DM on Twitter at Brit_Divine. You can find Graham at Graham Barfield. You can find Jake at Jake Tribity. You can find Fantasy Points at Fantasy Points. Now it's PTS, someone else had fantasy points. You guys aren't ponying up. You didn't do the pay the guy off to get fantasy points.
Yeah, we need to win the Millie this week, Jake. You and I need to make a lineup at the end of our show, and he's we need to win the Millie. Yeah, and then we'll be good to go. Be able to buy the guy off.
Yeah, you got to send him a DM. Be like, what is it going to take here? We'll give you the free suite, the free data suite, unlimited for the rest of your life if you just switch it over to us. You got to negotiate with them. Anyway, guys, it's been a blast doing the show with you for the first 2 weeks. Looking forward to each week through the rest of the season. For Graham and Jake, I'm Britt. Thanks for watching, listening, and we outcha.